Thank you so much, Sri Praveen Pardesi, for sharing so many interesting stories of businesses abroad, like the IKEA story, which many of us really did not know, as well as businesses in our own homeland. And now, finally, we have been waiting for our keynote speaker, His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And before I call him to speak and give us words of wisdom, I would like to briefly introduce him. About 40 years ago, there was a young boy in Chicago who had a wonderful material life, and yet he felt that something was missing. He needed to do more with his life than he was. He became an activist in the civil rights movement in the 1970s, and thereafter he had a calling to be closer to God. And this calling led him across the continents, across the oceans, and he hitchhiked all the way from Europe to Asia. And he went on this perilous, arduous, and yet very exciting journey right through all the countries of Asia and finally to get to the border of India, where he was stopped. And he was told that mendicants like him had no place here. Disappointed, but yet not willing to give up, this young boy of 19, who is actually known by the name of Richard Slavin, a young Jewish boy from America, sitting on the borders of India, pleaded to our border official, "Please, sir, let me go in. I promise you, one day, I will do something for your country." And this young boy, at the age of 19, entered India and did wonderful transformational work, first transformed himself, and then moved on to transform societies. And this is the story of none other than His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Today he is one of our most beloved and respected spiritual teachers, guide, community builder, activist, and acclaimed author. He has written his story, this wonderful, exciting story, which I just gave you a brief about, in his iconic book, The Journey Home. And this has made the New York Times bestseller list. And now he has written the book, The Journey Within, which is also top the list. Radhanath Swami is the founder and coordinator of many spiritual communities in India and throughout the world. He is based in the Radha Gopinath Mandir in Chaupati. And over the years, he has empowered people to go ahead and do wonderful philanthropic work, which he is the inspiration behind. And some of these are like the Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mira Road, the Bhaktivedanta Hospice in Vrindavan, the Midday Meal or the Anamrita, which Sri Ajay Piramal is also very closely connected with, which gives free midday meals to millions of children across India. He is also the founder and the inspiration behind the Govardhan Eco Village, which is also one of our sponsors today. And later on, you will all receive a nice gift bag with many eco-friendly products from the Govardhan Eco Village. Without further ado, I will request Sri Sanjeev Maheshwari to kindly come forward and welcome His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Sanjeev Maheshwari. Sanjeev, along with Rajiv, is also one of the co-founders of the Artha Forum, and it was with great pleasure that we invite His Holiness Radhanath Swami to give us a few words of enlightenment today. Over to His Holiness Radhanath Swami.
Om Akyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Bilidham Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschatyate Shatharine Banshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare It is my profound honor and pleasure to be among all of you this evening. My special gratitude to our esteemed panel members and to each and every one of you. India has always been recognized by thoughtful people seeking purpose, meaning, and spiritual connection in their lives as the place with the greatest wealth on this planet. Today, India is becoming economically very strong, very influential. But still, our greatest treasure here is our culture. When my guru, Srila Prabhupada, was in London, he was challenged by some reporters, "Why have you come to our country? We have our own religion. We have our own way of life." Srila Prabhupada said in response that you British controlled India for almost two centuries. And in that time, you sought the treasures of India in the form of gold and jewels, and wealth and labor, and you brought it to London. but you forgot to bring the real treasure of India, its spiritual culture. I have come to give you freely what you forgot to take. India has a historical opportunity in today's times to do incredibly great things for our country itself and for the whole world. If we just recognize where our real wealth is. When I was approaching the Bombay Stock Exchange, I saw a very large, impressive statue of a bull. And I was told this is the symbol of the Bombay Stock Exchange, a bull. I never had a stock in my life. I haven't had a bank account in 47 years. So I asked one of my dear friends who was with me, what does the bull really symbolize? And he said, when there's success in the market going up, something like that. In other words, where there's abundance. In the Vedic literatures, throughout, Dharma is symbolized by a bull. Dharma, in essence, means to perform our occupation with integrity and to live with compassion. Dharma is the basis of real culture and civilization. In the Vedic literatures, there's also a person who was selfish, greedy, envious, and exploitative. His name was Aristasura. He took the form of a bull. So here we have a bull representing Dharma and a bull representing Adharma. Everything in the Vedas, historical, philosophical, are meant to teach us a lesson to apply to our lives. What does this mean? Two bulls. Bull represents affluence, success, wealth. One represents dharma, goodness, compassion, and one, evil. It means each and every one of us, with whatever we have a choice. And it is how we make our choices that gives our life meaning and purpose, or is void of any true meaning or purpose. At every moment, we have a choice. All the great sages, all the great scriptures, all the great kings, all the great business people, through their examples, they are teaching us how to make positive choices that will enrich ourselves, our families, our nations, and our world with actual prosperity. Tonight's Art the Forum is especially dedicated to the late Dr. N.D. Desai. He passed away recently. He was one of the primary inspirations for this cause because of his example. He strived with all his heart, along with his whole family, to really live by the principles of Dharma. And through that, his companies became bigger and bigger and more successful. but he never considered anything to be his own. As Mr. Purimal was so nicely explaining, he saw that he was a trustee of gifts of God. And how he could utilize whatever he has with devotion and compassion was his motivating force to earn profits. Which is a more powerful human influence? Love or greed? Some people think if you don't have greed, you can't really be determined to be successful. That's the consciousness of Arista. But if we have love, we'll be more determined. We'll be willing to work even harder. But that love is the wealth of our heart. If we don't discover that love that is within our own hearts, which is the very principle of yoga, the principle of Dharma, then we're in poverty. You can be a wealthy person in a little straw shack or in a magnificent palace. You could be in total poverty in a magnificent palace or in a little straw shack. These things are not so important. Our purpose and our meaning in life, to live with compassion, to live with love, to understand the beauty of seva. Bhagavad Gita tells, yajkyatva na punaramoham evam yashashi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani draksyas yatman yathomai. Hari Hari. What is truth? There are so many interpretations of truth. Some people think truth is what I can see, what I can taste, what I can feel. Some people say truth is what the scientists have discovered. Bhagavad Gita tells the eternal principle of truth. When we understand that everything and everyone is a part of God. All living beings are in me, are of me, and are mine, Krishna says. In the second chapter, Krishna gives an explanation that leads us into how to understand this. Dehino smenyata dehe komaram yovaram chara. We're not this body. We are the jiva, the atma. We're the living force, the spirit, the consciousness that gives us the power to see and to hear and to think and to feel, to grow and to love. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. When the living force leaves this body, the body's dead. But actually, it's just like a car without a driver. We are the driver, we are the Atma. The Atma is without birth, without death. Why? Because it's a part of God. The nature of the Atma, the Sanatan Dharma, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhoksha jaya hoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. Sanatan Dharma, the supreme Dharma, the Srimad Bhagavatam declares, is when we live for the purpose of awakening the love and the compassion for the supreme being, for Krishna, and for all living beings. When we recognize who we are, we naturally recognize our relationship with God,
Bhagavan, and all living beings. And in that state, we cannot exploit. Greed and exploitation is a pathetic state of inner poverty. It's a symptom of ignorance. But yet in the world today, it's praised and it's glorified as being something very glorious. The wisdom of the Gita, the wisdom of the Vedas, the wisdom of the sages, and the wisdoms of the great examples we have here in India and other parts of the world is to teach us what real value is. To awaken that love within our hearts, to live with compassion, to honor that the environment is not ours to exploit. It's Bhumi Devi. The environment is Lakshmi, according to Vedic literatures. She's to be honored because she's sustaining every living being equally. And all living beings are our family, our brothers and our sisters. As we wake up, we recognize that. We will not exploit innocent people for myself or my own family because we recognize everyone is my family. To share, to care, is culture. To live as an example like that and make choices that help us is the greatest contribution we could make to life. Dr. Desai, Ajay Piramo, Mr. Chauhan, our Secretary of Chief Minister, they may perform their duties very, very well, and they do. But nobody loves them for that. Nobody will love you for your material achievements or success. People will envy you. People will respect to try to use you. People may fear you. But nobody loves you for what you have. People love you for who you are. People will love you when you represent love, when you represent compassion, when you represent goodness, and when you're willing to make sacrifices for a higher purpose in life. Applied spirituality universally is this: the willingness to make our focus and our goal the higher principle of love, of compassion, of seva. And people will love us for that. People will actually respect and appreciate us for that. This Artha Forum is a legacy for people like Dr. Desai, who will live forever as a soul and whose life will live forever through the inspiration of his example. There's nothing the world needs more than examples. Examples of living with Dharma. The poverty of the world, the oppression, the bigotry, the racism, these are all just symptoms of a disease that we're disconnected from our own self. We're disconnected from who we are and what is really purposeful and meaningful in our life. Yoga is to make that connection. When you water the root of a tree, it naturally extends to all parts of the tree, the leaves, the flowers, and the branches. And similarly, when we learn how to live in harmony with our own true self, with Krishna, then we naturally, our love, our compassion will extend to everyone because we care from our hearts. In the Mahabharata, Arjuna had bows and arrows and he was organizing an army. Duryodhana had bows and arrows and he was organizing armies. Arjuna and Duryodhana were actually doing the exact same thing. But there was a difference, the purpose. Arjuna was doing it to protect the innocent and Duryodhana was doing it to exploit the innocent. In a similar way, whatever our occupation, whatever our social position, we have the choice to follow Arjuna or to follow Duryodhana. To use what we have, our intelligence, our abilities, our wealth, for the goodness of humanity, for the real purpose of inner fulfillment and happiness and sharing that. Or to hurt our own souls and others. Sri Pirumal quoted from the Ramayana, Ravana took Lakshmi or Sita to exploit her. She represents wealth. She represents fortune. He did pretty good for a while. He had the most glorious palace in the world. He built a city out of solid, pure gold. Could anyone do that today? Even the greatest billionaires cannot build a city of solid, pure gold. And his palace, it describes in Ramayana, it was not lit with light bulbs. It was lit with diamonds and rubies and emeralds and precious jewels. And he had Sita. But how long did it last? Because he was trying to exploit. Everything was finished. And Hanuman, he represents devotion and compassion, dharma. He brought Sita back to give her happiness, to be once again united with Ram. I'm just a little Swami who doesn't really have much of anything, but I'm really, really enlivened to be in the Bombay Stock Exchange because I really feel the influence of this room can affect the whole country and the whole world. And each and every one of us, big or small, we can make a big difference. In the Ramayana, they were building the bridge to Sri Lanka. Hanuman was carrying massive mountains. And he saw on his path a little spider that was just pushing one little grain of sand at a time to build the bridge. And he was actually blocking Hanuman's way. Hanuman was waiting for him to move. Ram told Hanumanji, he's doing every bit as much as you. He's doing, that little spider is working, serving according to his capacity for this higher cause. And you're working according to your capacity, according to this higher purpose. The real wealth of life is to tune into that higher purpose of being instruments of God's grace in whatever we do. Thank you very much.